All right, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And if you're watching on Facebook right now, my phone is going to die soon. I can't keep a charge on it for very long. And I do apologize. We will post this sermon on sermon audio, hopefully later today. Matthew chapter 19. We've been looking at some current events. Some of them we have had to give some more studying to and to search the Scriptures. And so today we're going to look at Have Ye Not Read, number 3. And Have Ye Not Read, number 1, was that God made you male and female. Have Ye Not Read, number 2, was about marriage. That's between a man and a woman. And we're going to give some thought today about the sin of homosexuality. The sin of homosexuality. And so Matthew chapter 19 and verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, He departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them. The Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him, and saying unto Him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And He answered and said unto them, Have ye not read, that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So we're going to stop our reading there. Now again, our concern is not my opinion, it's not your opinion, it's not a religious leader's opinion, it's what God says. What saith the Scripture? That's what we're concerned with. And the Scriptures are very, very clear that homosexuality is a sin. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In our text, God says, the Lord Jesus, during His earthly ministry, Have ye not read that He made them male and female, and the man leaves his father and mother and marries a woman, and they become one. And, you know, they've got different quaint sayings, you know, that people have come up with down through the years about this. But our concern isn't quaint sayings, but what God's Word says.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, I'd like you to notice, someone says, why are you singling out homosexuality? Well, they've singled themselves out. They've made this a huge deal in our country, in our nation, in our culture. And you and I need to be prepared. We need to know what Scripture says. Our young people need to know. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, I asked you, if I were to ask you, how much of our population is homosexual, how much would you think? And I thought, well, it's got to be 90%. I mean, all the TV commercials and the ads. I mean, think, and I heard this on the radio, and I don't watch this show. I didn't when it was originally on. But there's a show called Friends, and it had six people, and they were all straight, and they were all white. And they said if you tried to pitch six straight white people to be on a sitcom today, they'd laugh you right out of the building. And they would, too. But if I asked you how much of the population today in America is homosexual, I said, well, it's got to be at least half, 5.6%. to 5.9%. But based on what we see and what we hear on the news, what they're cramming down our throats, it's all propaganda. And they're trying to, you know, you've heard of decriminalizing. They're trying to declassify homosexuality as a sin today. And they've been working on it for a long time. It didn't just start happening. But I'd like you to notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, And we will do them no good if we act as if it's okay. We'll do adulterers no good if we act as if adultery is okay. We'll do thieves no good as if we act if thieving is okay. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 to the church of God at Corinth, and he says, listen, the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God, but don't be deceived. Here's a group of some other people who aren't going to inherit the kingdom of God either. And in verse 9, at the very last phrase, "nor abusers of themselves with mankind," that word literally would be sodomites. This word here is homosexuals. In different translations that are not the King James, it will literally say homosexuals. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, he's saying it's sin. And they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And you look today, people say, oh, I'm saved, but they're going on and they have just a profligate lifestyle. They're committing sexual acts with people and they're not married at all. Those are fornicators. Don't be deceived. They're not saved either. And if you've got people who are married and they're committing sin with another woman or another man that they're not married to, that's adultery. Don't be deceived. They're also not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what Scripture teaches. And we find here in these verses, and so it says again, why are you dealing with this? Our culture has pushed this to the forefront. And down through history, every time culture or falsehood has pushed something to the forefront, we've had to deal with it. We've been talking here about the change in government. We've talked about infant baptism. We've talked about all these things that the religious and the cultures of yesteryears pushed to the forefront and how our Baptist forefathers dealt with them. And this is one of the issues of today that we have to deal with. I wish we didn't, but we do. You can't turn on the TV or the radio or listen to anything without being assaulted by it. Can't be done. You go on the Disney Plus app. They got a whole section of it. Why in the world does Disney have a place for that? Why in the world? It's the month of June is Gay Pride Month, and you can't go to Disney right now without being assaulted by it. I talked to a fella. He's an accountant. They took the kids over there, and he goes, oh, I forgot it was June. He forgot it was June. He had his kids there. He said it's awful. This word here, this phrase, "nor abusers with themselves of mankind," is sodomy or homosexuality. But I want you to look at the next verse because that was the bad news, but here's the good news. And it's very, very good news. Because some of these things, as Paul says in the next verse, "and such were some of you," and I was some of these things. I was covetous, I was a thief, a reviler, probably an extortioner, probably an idolater, probably a great deal of these things. God, and if you didn't do it, it's because God kept you from it. And that's it. And it says here in verse 11, "and such were some of you, but," oh, what a word, "but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Some of those church members at the church of Corinth were sodomites, were homosexuals, and God saved them. He washed them, He justified them, He sanctified them, and they weren't that anymore. Because God saved them. That's the good news.
All right.
And so if we placate people, if we placate thieves and covetous and idolaters and fornicators and adulterers and sodomites, if we placate and say, well, it's okay, and you know, blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that, they're never going to need Jesus Christ or see their need of Him. Doesn't matter if you're related to them, if they're your neighbors, if they don't see a need for repenting of their sins, because they don't see it as sin, and that's exactly what society is doing today, they are declassifying homosexuality as a sin. They've already done it with fornication. They've already done it with adultery. It's no big deal. Some of you were alive when if somebody got pregnant out of wedlock, they moved away and they were never seen from again. If somebody got divorced, boy, I tell you what, that was taboo, wasn't it? Not anymore. Less than half of marriages stay together until death do they part. But that's the good news, is that this sin is a redeemable sin. This sin is no different than the sins you and I have committed. In that regard, is that it is redeemable. It is pardonable. God is able to save and make new creations in Christ Jesus out of sodomites. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, you ever look at somebody and say, God won't save them, God can't save them? Don't ever say that, because He saved you.
Amen.
This again is what we're seeing. This is what we're being assaulted with. And I promise you that what you're going to hear today is not what you're going to hear from many, many outlets of things. You're not going to hear it from the news. I hope you hear it in your home. I doubt you're going to hear it being taught in schools. I doubt it very much that, oh, we can't say nothing about this. It is a damnable sin that excludes you from the kingdom of God. It's not the only sin that excludes people from the kingdom of God, but it's one of them. It's the one we have to deal with today. It is not an alternate lifestyle. It's sin. It is not sexual orientation. It's sin. And when we or anyone else treats it as an alternate lifestyle, then we are cutting someone off from the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are doing them a disservice. The greatest thing that we can ever tell someone who's a homosexual is that it's sin, but we have the good news that Jesus is able to save them. Say, well, they won't like it. Well, guess what? I didn't like it, and I wasn't homosexual when my brother told me that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. And I didn't like it when Dad and I were out in a fishing boat and he was talking to me about the Lord, and I wasn't a homosexual either. Guess what? When somebody preached and you sat in this pew or that pew or in this church house or another church house and somebody preached unto you Christ and the Holy Spirit began to bother you about it, you didn't like it either. But then, peradventure, God saved you and you rejoice that somebody did tell you. There are countless records in our day, but here we have Scripture where Christ Jesus saved them and they ceased to be what they once were. Isn't that an amazing thing? Same thing's true of you and I, that God saved us and we ceased to be what we once were. It is the most kindest, most loving thing you can do is read to them these three verses. Is to tell them that their life is sin, but the good news is that Jesus is able to save them. There's nothing better you can do.
Amen.
And to say it with love, and without wrath or animosity or judgment or any other thing, but to say it truly in love, that Christ Jesus is able to save you. Some folks say, well, I was born this way. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Did you hear that? Of course you were born that way. You were born in sin. That's why Jesus said you have to be born again. So if someone says, well, this is the way that God made me. Well, you need to be made anew in Christ Jesus. Well, I am saved. Well, then you need to put it off. Because you're doing it and you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And the Bible says you must be born again in order to see and enter the kingdom of God. So if you are born again, you need to put these things off. But this is what's being sold to society. You want to know why it's on Disney? Because just like that church up there on the top of that chart, they want to sell it to them when they're young. They want to indoctrinate them when they're young. They want to normalize it when they're young. I grew up, we used to play video games, and they'll say, oh, you're desensitizing them to violence. I didn't think I was. Maybe we were. I can tell you this, desensitizing people is real. If you say it long enough and loud enough, eventually people will begin to believe it.
Amen.
They've sold it to society. They're selling it to children. It's become normal in religion. Some of these churches on the top of this chart have bought into it hook, line, and sinker. They've got ministers, pastors, priests, are involved in all of this thing. They're starting to marry them together, and it's sin.
Amen.
They have allowed it. They want you and I to think that they're a minority. That they have rights. They're treated as if it's a culture. It's not a culture. It's sin. That's what it is. They want them to be allowed to express their cultural heritage. And so they've got their gay pride parades. Well, again, and I said this a few weeks ago, if we were to have and celebrate our culture of being straight, it'll never be allowed to happen. They'll never let it happen. You'll never have a straight pride parade. It'll never come. You can look at the advertisements, the campaigns, the infiltration. And I want you to look, if you would, and I want you to listen to about this, and we're going to turn over to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And I want you to listen to how this sin is, as one individual put it, he said it is sexual lust in uncontained epic proportions. It is sexual lust in uncontained epic proportions. And I'm going to give you some statistics. The average homosexual has relationships with more, the average, with more than 500 partners in his or her lifetime. That's the average. I graduated with a class of 400 people in high school. That means I'd have had to have sexual relations with every one of them and some over into the junior class. 500. That's the average. In Los Angeles County, the average is 300 per year. That means they're having relations with a different person nearly once a day. And they're staggering numbers. 30% have more than 1,000 sexual partners in their lifetime. Many had over 1,500 sexual partners, and they quit counting at 1,600. The statistics did. Staggering. The conduct of acts that they commit have no bounds. It is unbridled lust. It is a vile, wretched sin, and yet we read in Scripture that it's forgivable. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's forgivable. I want to show you here in Genesis chapter 19 some of that unbridled lust. And I've read this and read this and read this and I didn't see this, and so maybe you never saw it either. But here's a place called Sodom, and involved with it is also Gomorrah. This is where they get the name Sodomites from. That's the Bible name, Sodomites. Homosexual is the Greek word, homo meaning same, sexual meaning sex, same sex. That's the cultural name. The biblical name is Sodomites or Sodomy. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 19, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." So here they come in to the place of Sodom. And Lot, he comes out to him, and he gives obeisance to him because he realizes and recognizes that these are messengers of God. And he says, "I want you to come in to my house. I want you to wash your feet." That was a common courtesy of the day because you travel and you need your feet washed because they had, you know, open-toed shoes. They had sandals on. So he says, "I want you to come in and wash, and then tomorrow you've got to get out of this place." Because Lot knew he was a righteous soul, and he vexed himself with everything that he saw around him, and he knew how evil of a place this was. And he says, they said to him, "You know what? We're going to stay out in the city square. We're just going to sleep out here on the street." And the next verse, "And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." Lot says, "You can't sleep out here on the streets. Not because you're angels and you're messengers of God. This is such a wicked place, you cannot sleep on the streets. You have to come in to the safety of four walls." That's what he's telling them. Verse 4. "But before they lay down," so they come in, they eat, and before they get a chance to lay down, "the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, come past the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter." So everybody, old and young, from all over the city, come and they surround Lot's house. You ever had your house surrounded? I've never had anybody surround my house. I imagine it's pretty intimidating. I imagine it's pretty scary. And Lot knows the character of these people. And the Bible tells us in verse 5, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." Now, the word "know" here is what a lot of people say they wanted to biblically know them. Not, "Hey, we want to get to know, these are new people come to town. We want to get to know them." This was not the welcoming committee. They had come there to forcibly rape these two men. That's what they had come there to do. This is the unbridled lust. You say, how in the world can you have 500 sexual partners in a lifetime? Unbridled lust. That two people come into a city and they surround the house and they're going to rape them. I can't imagine that. But that's it right there. Let's keep reading. "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him." So Lot comes out and he shuts the door and he's going to talk to them. And I want you to just read what Lot does. "And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." So, They obviously weren't there to welcome them, to bring them a basket of cookies and muffins and tea and, you know, invite them to come worship the Lord with them. They were there to do wickedly to them. They were there to rape them. They were there to forcibly have sex with them. Verse 8, "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man." I got two daughters who are virgins. "Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." I don't know what he was thinking. But he tells him, he says, "I got two daughters that have never known a man, that have never had sex. You take them, you do whatever you want with them. Whatever you do, don't touch God's messengers." I can't imagine doing that either. But again, Lot has vexed his soul with all the things that he's seen in Sodom for years and years. Verse 9, "And they said, stand back." They said, no dice, no deal. "And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." So now, they're pushing Lot up against the door, and they're assaulting Lot. They're beating him up. And they said, "You came in here to sojourn among us. This is our city. This is what we do. You've just been living here a little while," and now they're assaulting Lot. And they're beating him up, and maybe they're going to rape him too. I don't know if you heard or you know how prison or even jails work, but particularly prisons. These two angels that come in, they basically said, "This is fresh meat." And they were going to introduce him to Sodom. And in verse 10, "But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house, and shut to the door." So the two angels, they open the door, pull Lot in, and shut the door. And then in the next verse it says, "And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door." Now I want you to think about this. This is the part, I've never seen this part before. That here you are trying to break into a house to rape two men. He offers you his two virgin daughters. You say no. Now you're beating him up. And now these two beings that you want to rape smote you with blindness. You'd think they would go home or try to find their way home. Nope. It is such uncontrollable lust that they are still trying to find the door, even though God, through these angels, has smitten them with blindness. That's what this phrase here, "so that they wearied themselves to find the door." They are literally doing this, trying to find the door of Lot's house. And they wearied themselves. They grew tired trying to find it. That's the uncontrollable lust that this sin has. There's a lot of sexual sins that have this uncontrollable lust. We read here and we see that this is where we arrive, and we look at these things and we see that they worry themselves. And then in verse 12, "And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city? In the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Somebody wrote in a commentary, I don't remember who it was, but they wrote in the commentary, said the reason God was going to destroy Sodom and the reason He was going to destroy Gomorrah was because they were not welcoming unto His angels. That's not why they got destroyed. They were destroyed because of how wicked they were. Do you know what caused Greece to fall apart? Sodomy. Do you know what caused Rome to fall? Sodomy. Do you know what's going to happen to the United States of America? is going to fall because of this sin too. Nations are destroyed just like Sodom because of it. In fact, God destroyed this place so much, He incinerated it, that to this day, archaeologists cannot find it on the map. Can't find it. It's gone. Completely destroyed. The whole city was given over to it. Kind of sounds like San Francisco, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like a lot of stuff in some of these liberal places. Look over in Leviticus chapter 20. A lot of folks say, well, the Bible doesn't prohibit this. Well, I strongly disagree. I've already read to you that those who commit such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We have here, as we've been dealing with the law in our study of Leviticus chapter 16, we have in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13, it says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." If that's not homosexuality, then what is it? Man lying with man as he lies with woman. That's what it is. In the Old Testament, when they would have revivals, the kings, when God would restore them and they would be revived, one of the things that some of the kings did was they got rid of all the sodomites in the land. They did what God's Word says here in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. I am not advocating that we kill them. I am advocating that we preach Christ Jesus unto them. I want to make that very clear. They need to be saved just like you and I do. Just like you and I did. You see, here in Genesis 19, as we read, we had incest and fornication. See, we go from Genesis chapter 2, when God instituted marriage, to Genesis chapter 19, where you have homosexuality and incest. Genesis chapter 34, you have rape. Genesis chapter 38, you have prostitution. And later on in the book of Genesis, you have polygamy. So, in a very short period of time, man has altered what Jesus said, "Have ye not read that He which made them in the beginning made them male and female?" So we went from one man and one woman, till death do they part, to incest, rape, sodomy, prostitution, polygamy. And not that long. Not that long. Look over in Isaiah chapter 3. We're going to close here shortly. Isaiah chapter 3. And notice if you would, verse 9, 10, and 11. It is a very destructive sin. And you know, there's diseases that are rampant among the homosexuality community. But homosexuals don't just sleep with the same sex. They'll also cross over into the opposite gender and diseases are spread. And I want to reiterate to each and everyone here, and especially to our young people, God made sex and He said He confined it to be between a man and a woman when they're married. That's where it's supposed to be.
Amen.
He did it for a purpose. He did it to be enjoyed. He did it for procreation. He did it to glorify Him. That's where He said it. And all these things are alterations of what God said. And if you do what God says, you're going to be better off. You're going to be better off. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9, the Scripture tells us, "The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, They hide it not. What do we have going on today? It's Gay Pride Month, isn't it? They've taken the rainbow, the symbol of God's mercy and grace, and they've got pride, and what do? Are they hiding it? Remember, it used to be hid. It used to be taboo. It's not taboo anymore. In fact, if you're not gay, and I don't even want to use that word because they're not happy. They're miserable. That's what the word gay means. It means happy. But if you're not a homosexual, it's not in style right now, is it? I mean it. You're not. People say, well, they're the most accept. They're so accepting. Well, they're rejected by God, I can tell you that much. It says here in Isaiah 3 and verse 11, this was Israel. This is what Israel was doing. It says here, woe unto, or verse 9, to show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them, with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. The same thing that brought Sodom down, brought Israel down, brought Greece down, brought Rome down, is bringing our own nation down. And they're proud of it. They don't hide it. Just like the Bible says in Romans, they know it's wrong and they take pleasure in doing it. But I want to read you another verse in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. And I want you to remember what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. And in Isaiah 53, I want you to realize that the sin of homosexuality was placed on Jesus Christ. He bore that penalty. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Those saints in Corinth, the iniquity of the homosexuals, of the Sodomites, he took and he put it on Jesus, and Jesus bore that sin at Calvary. Just like he bore our fornications and our adulteries and our idolatries and our covetousness, our rebellion, our use of the Lord's name in vain, our thieving, all of it. He bore it all. So when we look at this sin, we have to remember it's like every other sin. It's redeemable. It is not the unpardonable sin. It's heinous and it's wicked. And you don't have to make friends with people to tell them of the good news of Jesus Christ. We ought to tell them. Heard a story about an individual. He had called, he'd written to a known person who's supposed to be in the ministry. He was in the hospital, he was dying. And when the minister got there, the man was clearly dying from AIDS. He'd grown up going to church, grown up in a Bible, he was in Bible college, and he fell into homosexuality. And he had had multiple encounters. And as the minister came in, he said, "Hello, I'm so-and-so." And somebody was sitting on a couch. He got up and he walked out. That was his lover. He says, "I know I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell." He said, "Tell me about your life." And he began to rehearse to him about how the wicked and vile things that he had done. He says, "Well, tell me about the gospel." And he began to rehearse the gospel. And the And so as the story went on, they began to pray, and he held his hand and he prayed and he squeezed his hand. All the emotion of his sin was in that grip of the hand of the minister. And he prayed, and then when he got done, the other man prayed. And when they concluded praying, the man had said, he goes, "I'm not going to hell anymore. The Lord had saved him." And he said to him, he says, "Well, now what are you going to do?" He says, "The AIDS, I don't know what they're called, but they send out kind of like hospice for AIDS." He said, "The person they sent out to help me during my final days is a homosexual. The person who just left was my husband. He's a homosexual. I got three nurses that are homosexuals." He says, I've got to tell them all of the bad news and the good news." And God gave him 5 days. But he had been changed. Now, I don't know what sins you committed before God saved you, and I don't need to know what sins. But you've got X amount of days to tell others about the bad news and the good news. And I don't know when your days are going to expire. But God has given you and me certain amount of days to tell others of the good news of Jesus Christ. Because I promise you, they fall into one of those categories in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. They're going to be an adulterer, an idolater, an unrighteous person, a homosexual, an effeminate. They're going to be a thief, a covetous person. They're going to fall in one of those categories. And pray to God that when they hear the gospel, they'll fall into verse 11. "But such were," past tense, "some of you. But now ye are," present tense, "washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." I don't know how many days you got left. I don't know how many days I got left. But let us go forth declaring the gospel unto every creature, every kind of person. You don't need to go find a homosexual to tell them about the need of salvation. Just tell it to the next sinner. Just tell it to the next sinner. Before you tell anybody anything, tell a sinner about the Lord. And peradventure, God will save them. Because He is able,
amen,
to save all who come unto Him. And He will in no wise cast them out. I pray the Lord will help you to study and to look at these things and to see these truths. But that's what we need to do. We've not been called to condemn people. They're already condemned. We've been called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unto every creature. So I pray the Lord will help us do that. Let's stand and close.